This sermon was downloaded from spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Father, we ask you that you grant this evening the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the administration of your program this evening. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please, let's be seated. Praise the Lord. You're welcome to church this evening. In Jesus' name. I'd like to thank the Lord for yet another day. What I will be doing during the course of holding brief for our Father, I term it this, I put everything under a general head, subheading or heading, aids to spiritual warfare. That is everything I will be doing, putting them under a general categorization of aid to spiritual warfare. And yesterday we saw the renewal of the mind. And how powerful that is if we're going to be proficient and effective in spiritual warfare. Because usually before soldiers will go to battle, there are a lot of checkups and tests they carry out. That is why you have psychologists in the armed forces of nations, just to check if this particular soldier is fit for war. Is he in the right mental frame? Will he not go and open fire on his own people? Do you understand? There are soldiers that they go out to war, and instead of opening fire on the enemy, they are opening fire on their own counterparts and all of that. So there's a whole lot of mental, psychological checkup that is done. And if you're going to prosper in spiritual warfare as a believer, there are preparations to spiritual warfare. There are provisions you need to put in place. It's so serious that even the logistics arm of the armed force is so crucial that a battle can be lost if the logistics arm is not in their best shape and condition. Where they make supplies of their uniforms, their jungle boots, supply of water, supply of food, supply of medicine, and all of that. Many times there are auxiliary services, handles to warfare generally, that if those things are not in place, you can actually lose battles. And if you're going to become proficient in spiritual warfare, it's not enough to know the big tools and weapons that you deploy in executing warfare, but the preparations, the right frame of mind. You see, for Gideon, the Lord had to carry the 32,000 men, that came out, those who signed up for battle. He carried them through a test. The first test, 22,000 were disqualified. And what was the test? If you are fearful, go back home. Hello. If God did not come to carry out the scrutinization of the soldiers for Gideon, Gideon will be thinking that with the multitude that he has, he's good to go. and the victory is going to be assured. Just one test. There is no danger. There was no sound of bullets. I have a young man who is around me. He was a soldier guy. I think he's 27. He's been in the army from around 2013, you know, all of that. He had fought in Maiduguri, fought Boko Haram. And whenever I'm talking to him, if I give him instruction, he'll say, Roger. It means he has copied. And then anywhere he goes, he causes trouble because he said, how can they joke on routine that is battle-tested? It means he has gone to battle and come back. There is not, you can't scare him anymore. Where there is sound of bullets moving like whatever, that is where they are headed. Because he said he is battle tested. He was at the Abacha barracks and then he caused trouble there. You know, did some crazy things. His colleagues, his classmates who knew him, they saw him. And one of the reasons why they didn't kind of enforce all the measures of punishment and everything on him is because they say, because you are battle tested, you have served your nation in the capacity. If you hear the sound of gun, you hear ta-ta, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. While soldiers call it music, civilians, civilians will have taken to their heels. What is the singular difference between a soldier who hears the sound of guns and is still crawling on the ground going towards the direction of danger and a civilian that runs away, fear? And God told Gideon, just tell them anyone who is afraid, they should go back home. And those who are thinking about their cheerleader wife, they turn back. Those who are contemplating, they bought a new house, they bought new lands, there are a lot of things they're supposed to do, they turn back. Only 10,000 were not afraid out of 32,000. Not 32,000 nation. 32,000 was not the total population of the entire nation, but those who heard the sound of the trumpet that Gideon sounded and they signed up for war. Out of the 10,000 who were not afraid, God still carried them through further scrutiny and only 300 were qualified to engage the battle of the Lord. God doesn't like casualties in warfare. The 300 went out and the 300 came back in. The reason being that they went through preparations, drillings, and trainings. They passed tests. Now, the test that screened out 9,700 was just drinking of water. Okay, all of you, drink water. And 9,700 were drinking like dogs. They have to bend and then to drink from the river, whereas only 300 were lapping with their hands. There is a consciousness. And mind you, this battle that Gideon was going to engage in is not something that the nation has been preparing for. Number one. It means these 300 have been living a lifestyle all up until that time, unknown to them that there is a lifestyle that they are living that is the requisite qualification you need for warfare. Did you get that, what I just said? That there is a disposition that you are insisting on in your own life, unknown to you, God needs it. When you see a man that have studied to be quiet, he keeps his mouth shut, keeps mum, he sees more and talk less. And God is seeing a man that can keep the secrets of the Lord. And somewhere along the line, the man may not know that he has gone through the testing process. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. That David came from the wilderness and he didn't need to sanctify himself for him to be anointed king. Because what his brothers needed to sanctify themselves to deal with, he is already living a life of the qualified. Spiritual warfare is one of the things that most believers don't prepare for, but they want to engage. And the casualty rate is alarming. And if you watch the teachings our father has been bringing to us these days that we've had him, you can just see that he's closing up all of those breaches, all of those openings that the enemy can use to have an advantage over us. Praise the Lord. Amen. The warfare is spiritual, right? So it's called spiritual warfare. The part of you that will engage this warfare predominantly is your spirit. Amen. Let me show you something in the book of Acts chapter 8. Is it Acts 8 now? Yeah, I think Acts 8. Is it 8? Alright. Acts chapter 8. Oh, Philip. That's Acts 8 is Philip. No, that should be Acts 8 is Philip. I want to show you Acts chapter 6 verse 10. Acts 6 verse 10, this is Stephen giving a full defense, alright, of his faith and of the message of the gospel that they preach. And if you read from verse 8, for instance, say, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Verse 10 says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Don't know if you have it. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Now, a lot of believers, Christians around here, everybody is on the Jakpa mission, everybody is moving out. When you get out there and you come into the mental space, alright, and you begin to hear reasons, you begin to hear argument, many believers go and become unbelievers. Because they come in an intellectual space that has spiritual backup. And when you hear some things, hear some questions, hear some arguments, you just tell yourself the Bible is scam. And you find Stephen, the posture that Stephen put forth was not just, first of all, the eloquence with which he was saying what he was saying, but there was a wisdom and a spirit that they were touching in the midst of intellectual contentions. So, we've dealt with, we've talked about renewal of the mind, which is an aid to spiritual warfare. I want to talk to us this evening about the strength of your spirit in spiritual warfare. So a strong spirit for spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you there? If you still have your notes handy, while our father was teaching in one of those days, he gave us a breakdown about the mind. The mind is an entry organ, all right? Talk about the mind being a love organ. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your mind. Talks about the mind being the will. You remember? Okay. And then he went ahead also to show to us the different undo of the spirit of man. And he spoke about the conscience. You remember the conscience? What was the second one? Hello? Fellowship. The third one. Intuition. Alright? And all of this makes up the spirit. Okay, so can we look at the book of Lord, I need your help now. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. No, chapter 4 rather. Let's start with chapter 4. My screen is not working, so I need to use my Bible here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I read from verse 1. It says, seeing therefore we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, in verse 2, you're going to see three different moves of darkness that you need to deal with if you're going to be fit for warfare. One of it is called dishonesty. John chapter 14, verse 30, Jesus Christ speaking, he said, the prince of this world cometh, but he finds nothing in me. When you carry the cargoes of dishonesty, you are not in spiritual warfare. If you try, your experience is going to be like that of the seven sons of Sceva. All right? Paul, we know, in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preached, come out. And the demons gave them response. Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. But we have not heard about you. And they gave them a beating of their lives. They ran out of that place naked. They were beaten blue black. What is the difference? They mentioned the name of Jesus and the demons still beat them. You can see that the fundamental problem is not with the name. That name, demons know that name and they know what they should do. But it's the holders of that name that is making the name powerless in their mouth and in their own lives. And they say, we have renounced the hidden things. Hidden things. Are you there? Are you there? We are to commend ourselves to every man's conscience. There are things about you that your conscience knows. The reason why you said what you said, you knew why you said what you said. Even Pilate, a hidden king, knew that Jesus Christ was given over to be crucified, not because he sinned, but out of envy. Pilate knew it. That it was out of envy that the rulers of Israel gave him over to be crucified, and they gave every reason left, right, and center. And at the end of the day, without any just cause, they shouted, crucify him. They knew that while Jesus Christ continued his ministry, one of the things they noticed was that the whole crowd, the whole world was going after him, and they were losing their relevance. Everything they did and said that looked like they were trying to protect and to preserve the integrity of the law of Moses, it wasn't because of that. It was simply because of themselves. Hallelujah. The hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, ojoro, mago, mago, wuru, wuru person, koni. They say, koni man die, koni man bury him. Koni man came to church to come and look for a cheerleader, a good Christian. And then a koni woman also came to church and everybody they were just doing their koni things, and koni man find koni woman. And then at the end of the day, they went and discovered themselves at tomb, but they are all koni people. And they met in church, holy ground. Craftiness. You need to resist. You need to fight the back. This, you know, when we are talking about spiritual warfare, you don't think about these things. And this is where the major defeat in our lives comes from. And he said, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Deceit, lies, deception. The more you deal with these things out of your life, the more dangerous you become in spiritual warfare. Earlier on, years back, my elder brother told me a story about a pastor. And he said some believers were carrying out deliverance on a demon-possessed person. And people were doing, come out, enter, out, I bind you, I lose you. They were doing all they were doing, and there were a lot of them. And the demon was just engaging them. You know, when you become tired. I remember I was casting out a demon one time. I don't know if my wife was there. And the demon looked at me. That day I fasted. The lady looked at me and the demon spoke. Say, look at you. You are hungry. Say, you are hungry. When you become tired, you will go. You know what? I'm getting tired. And I rescheduled that deliverance. You know, I rescheduled the deliverance. It was on Wednesday after Palm prophetic service. You know, I was fasting. I knew I was really hungry. And this demon says. So I rescheduled the deliverance for Saturday. And then after 9 p.m., I went home. But on Saturday when I came, my younger brother was there. We were all doing all that we were doing. Then he used to go out with Shala to the field. So I said, okay, maybe this young man, he has seen some kind of demonic things in the field. So let him try. He did all that he could do. The demon was still telling us stories and telling us, look at you, see you. You are even hungry. So you are hungry. You are fasting and all of that. When you finish, when you are tired, you'll go. Just leave me. I want to go. I'm not going anywhere. The Saturday when I came, he was just... Now, I have refreshed myself and I went and prayed and I discerned what was the matter. Okay? Just came in a moment, the demon that said he's not going anywhere started begging that, I beg at the guru. I said, what are you waiting for? Out. And the lady was fully delivered. Now, praise the Lord. Amen. I was saying something before I entered this story. All right. Now, if you handle the word of God, if you lead your life deceitfully, demons will make a mess of you. Do you understand? When you're speaking, they will talk back to you. Because there are properties of Satan and darkness that you have, and all of that reduces your authority in the realms of the spirit. And he's saying, we have denied all of this, but manifesting the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now look at the shots. Look at the moves of darkness that comes to you on an engagement level. The first three we had of dishonesty, of craftiness and deceit is something within you. Do you understand? All of that happened within and is meant to defeat you before you get to the battle in the first place. Because the prince of this world will come. Whether you like it or not, it is his duty, it is his responsibility, it is in his nature to come on a world round to see if your life has come into a compliance, conformity to his nature, so that automatically you become discredited from even fighting. You don't get into the ring, talk more of fighting. Now you begin to see the next shot he begins to pull at you to ensure that he takes you out. Say, we are troubled. We are hard pressed on every side, and the goal of the troubling is for you to become distressed. If you find yourself easily giving up, easily being weighed down, you can't pull through with a pure desire, you are in the midst of a very crucial warfare. You are hard pressed so that you can become distressed. He said, we are perplexed. You don't even know what to do, so you can become despondent. You begin to despair. No more courage, no more confidence, no more faith. Praise God. We are persecuted. And the intention is so that we can feel forsaken. And they say we are cast down. And his intention is so that we can be destroyed. Amen. Somebody called me. And they said, Pastor T, I want to give up. Why is it that this and this and this happen? I help them. I build them. They go away. When I help them, build them, encourage them, they become the man that they should be. Then they discover that I'm not good enough. They find somebody who is fitting and befitting, and they go away. And one came around, and the person seems to be a good guy, and they were doing well, and there is a clause that I begin to have that if you don't get to sleep with me, if you don't get to allow me to touch you, the marriage cannot happen. And you find a sense of, is this how all the men will go? Begin to feel forsaken, begin to feel all alone and all of that. And the intention is to get you. She said, Pastor T, I'm contemplating hard. And I say, you need to come and see me. Let me touch you as, let me feel you and know if you are still okay. But the devil knows how to mount these pressures consistently, progressively, in a manner that the only option that comes to your mind is that, let me give in. And then, are you sitting there? You know, for believers, usually when you give in, the person goes out. Then you are left with a sense of total and complete loss. You need to understand the victories you are having in warfare by remaining in a condition of righteousness. How do I put this to you? That you are not bending, that you are not bulging, you are not caving in, is a condition, is warfare in itself, and is a condition of victory you are in. And the devil knows that his goal is to get you to bend and to bow like they were doing to Mordecai. Because every time Haman comes around, Mordecai refuses to bow because he is of the stock of the Jews. And the day Haman discovered that this guy will not bow, he took his matter very serious. And because of that incident, the anger in the heart of Mordecai was so ravenous that he disdained to just destroy only Mordecai. He was going after the entire nation. Why? One man said, I am a Jew, I'm a Christian, I will not bow. In Babylon, an entire nation bow. Three guys, of course, the king cannot attempt Daniel to ask Daniel to bow. He knew Daniel. Daniel did not bow. He just knew that that one is Jacoban. Leave him alone. He's not part of the general lord. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were meant to bow. What was that, warfare or not? Because they need to now worship an idol. When Satan came to Jesus, one of the requests he made was, if you will bow and worship. The daily carriage The daily experience of spiritual warfare that we have, if you don't understand it and you reduce spiritual warfare to when you say, okay, everybody, let's pray. Oh, the demon of your father's house, die, die, die. You lost before you started this one. Amen. Okay, I was telling you the story of that man. All right? That pastor. When those guys were struggling with the demon, the man came around. He just said, leave him alone. He just told the demon, leave him alone. And the devil left. Another one was A.A. Allen. They were struggling with demons. He came and just introduced himself to the devil. Say, I am A.A. Allen. Just, you know, Paul we know. A.A. Allen, they also know. When they say, I am A.A. Allen, the demon packed his stuff and left. It is until you find a read the price of God's miracle power that you know how A.A. Allen got there and the things that God dealt with him on. So, get yourself prepared. A strong spirit. Give me Proverbs 24 verse 10. Now, if you check where we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, all of those four shots and move of darkness, all right, with their attendant goals and aims, if you don't have a strong spirit, you will not make victory in any of them. You will find yourself being distressed, you will find yourself despair, you will find yourself cast down, you will find yourself destroyed in the face of persecution throughout church history. Right, the days of our ancestors, our fathers, who followed Jesus, who served him, it is known that persecution trims the church. The church in history has been the strongest in the midst of persecution. So when they are persecuted, they are not destroyed. And the devil has also known that iniquity ruins the church, but persecution trims the church. And anything that will get the Christian away from the path of righteousness to the path of iniquity makes him a cheap prey in the hand of the devil. Proverbs chapter 24 verse 10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, in the day of battle, your strength is small. Give it to me, maybe in amplified version. If you lack, if you are slack, careless in the day of distress, your strength is limited. Another version, if you have the message. If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? There's an exclamation mark there. It means it wasn't said as a statement. They shouted it in. If you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. Hallelujah. You can almost tell why people fall, why people fail, why people faint. They have, amen, the deception of form. You know form? How outlook. The deception of outlook is one of the deceptions you need to overcome as a believer. Don't look strong, be strong. Don't look wealthy, be wealthy. Obviously, that there is that is showing himself to be a wealthy man, yet he's hungry. And there is one that looks poor, yet he's so wealthy that he has servants. The other one looks like a rich man, but he's hungry. Carry pot belly, and he's going around. People are looking at him, say, Kai, thank God, Lord, bless me like you have blessed this man. But when you meet him, he said, nah, pure water, don't drink today. He has not eaten. And there is one that, he's looking lanky, but he's eating, he's good. The form, don't look strong, be strong. One of those times when I was calling in Yola, one of our, I think he was a house prefect or junior house captain. He went to the market and he saw these people that do charm, these snake charmers and all of that, that do charm. They are beating drums. They have horns on the ground. They are doing a lot of, you know, their fetish stuff. And then the man who was in charge was boasting to the people who were there and say, if there is anybody in this crowd that can fight with this small boy and put his back on the ground, he will give him an amount of money. And this guy who was our house captain, very huge, he came, say, you, this boy, me is beat you, me is, you know the way they speak their language. And then when he began to fight, this small boy, this little boy, lifted him from the ground. Say, so one day me is go to the market. Me is see one man. The man is say, if you are able, if you fit, carry this boy, dagger him on the summer and booger him on the casa. Me is give you 5 naira. Say, me is say, you this boy, me is beat you. Then when he engaged, the guy took him and slammed him on the ground. Say, next time, say, the small boy is dagger me from the casa and booger me on the summer. Next time me is see any small boy, me is no pite him. Because this small boy had charm. He doesn't look strong. Say, next time me see small boy, me is no pite him. Me is no pite him. Because he had had an experience. He looked small, but there was a spiritual aid to physical strength. And this guy looked big, and he made a mess of himself that day. Don't look strong, be strong. If you are going to be victorious in spiritual warfare. And this is what I've seen over the years in church. When there is a training, spiritual drilling, that is meant to exercise you, your tenacity, your resilience in certain deliverances, it's not even anointing, it's stamina that you use to cast out the devil. You are dealing with the devil, and then the matter is dragging. That you need to be able to stay on a matter as a pastor. The first time I dealt with lesbian spirit, it took time. Pray and then go back. Come back and pray again until the matter was dealt with. It takes stamina, and God will carry you through trainings. Like when we are having extensive, extended night vigils, you don't know what happens to you. But it is an arrangement to train you, to stretch you, so that your threshold, your endurance threshold is heightened. And you don't weary out before challenges and situations of life. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, if you fail in the day of battle, it means your strength is small. Look at Jesus Christ and the orientation of growth that we had for Jesus in the book of Luke chapter 2, I think from verse 40. Luke chapter 2 verse 40. He said, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is Jesus Christ. The growth orientation had the spiritual and the physical. While he was growing physically, he was also waxing strong in the spirit. Hallelujah. Are you there? Amen. I'd like to show you something in the book of Nehemiah chapter 4. Give me Nehemiah chapter 4 from verse 8. You need to see the situation, the condition where the rebuilding of the temple, God had sent Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And the work began. There was excitement. The whole nation was mobilized. Different families were building different angles of the work. And it got to a point where you find spiritual warfare going on in the lives of these persons. And I want you to see one of the manifestations of demonic exertions. Pastor George was leading prayers, and he spoke about the Father. For many of us, one of the manifestations of spiritual warfare in our lives is the spirit of heaviness. It's not burden, it's heaviness. And you are listless, you are not interested. Your mouth is like you are carrying 10 bags of cement. You can't even open your mouth to pray. He said, and they conspired, all of them, to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. This is the intention. Nevertheless, we made our prayers unto our God and set a watch against them day and night. In seasons of spiritual warfare, these are approaches of engagement. You pray in the daytime and you pray in the nighttime. So we set our watch against them. Verse 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearer of burdens, the bearers of burden, is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Up until this time, the enemy had not come to engage them physically yet. They were just talking. Say, so you will just be doing what you are doing. Before we will come in among you, we will kill your wives, we will kill your children, we will do this. They kept using propaganda, and because of propaganda, those who were mobilized, zealous for the work of God, the Bible said their strength began to decay. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much, the work is still much, and there is no strength, so that we are not able to build the wall. Verse 11. And our adversary said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Verse 12. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwell by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. See, in Nigeria we are finished too. In Lagos they did this. In Benue they did this. 35 persons were killed in Katsina. And at the end, it looked like there is no hope, there is no escape. Just get ready to die. Say, in all places, if you go to the left, they are there. Go to the right, they are there. 10 times, the Israelites were the ones bringing those who are, the way the thing is going, it's not going to work. At the end, everybody becomes tired. Everybody becomes discouraged. When you begin to find yourself not ready to move on, that is a time to move on. The day you don't feel like coming to church, that is a day that there is a visitation appointed for you. And the devil will find any means to distract and to discourage you from being in the place of appointment. Where you just feel kind, no. And do you know that right now in the church of God, believers have become tired with church. Believers have become tired with God. I've been serving God. I've been praying. I've been paying my tithe. I've been doing this, and my life is still remaining normal. I am done. People are throwing in the towel everywhere. And these are exertions. Distressing times. So that you can give up. That is why the Bible speaks in the book of Hebrews, chapter, is it 10 verse 35? Say you should cast not away your confidence that is of great recompense. In the time of Nehemiah, the warfare was so overwhelming that even those who should help, those who should partner in the rebuilding of the wall, everybody is already dropping the towel. They are just laying down tools and then going back to whatever it is that they feel is what they should be doing. And the devil will always want to come and discourage and to distract you right from inside. And if your strength, if you faint, if you give up, it's a revelation of who you have been all along. And for Jesus Christ, the Bible said that he waxed strong. He waxed strong, and then the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. John the Baptist, the same thing. And you need to choose carefully the things that helps you to grow spiritually. Let's look at the book of John, chapter 4, verse 6. John chapter 4, verse 6. This is Jesus Christ on his way to Jerusalem. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore being, can we read together? Hello, can we read together? One, two, go. Jesus was wearied with his journey. He is not wearied on the journey. He was wearied with the journey. And being wearied with his journey, sat on the well. And it was about the 6th hour. That is, I don't want to talk about that time. All right? Don't talk about that time. Do you remember the young man of God from Judah that was sent to Bethel with great signs? And then he went to Jeroboam and told him, Jeroboam stretched forth his hand. He said, this altar is going to split. He caused the altar. And Jeroboam did like this. He seized that man as he did like this. His hand fried. That man had such a terrific anointing on his life that if you do like this, that is the end of the usage of that hand. Such mighty signs accompanying the ministry of this young prophet. And he went, carried out great feats in Judah, in Bethel. And on his way going back, the Bible says he sat down to rest. And because he sat down to rest, the old prophet rode and caught up with him. If he was gaining distance as the old prophet was coming, the old prophet was the one that would have wasted fuel. Many times when you become tired, something is closing up on you. When the devil gets a man in that condition of tiredness, that is when iniquities, sins, temptations that you have overcome long ago, they catch up with you. The victories you have had in time past, you lose those same ground because, you know, person, I can't come and kill myself, right? Oga, if you must die seeking God, go ahead. But you know, if I would, I can't come and kill myself. And then you relax. Then you carry remote. You begin to scroll from place to place. Place, carry your phone. Carry your system. You start scrolling from place to place. At the end of the day, you will not believe where you find yourself. The devil stalks the believer to ensure that you become weary, you become tired, you become discouraged, so that he can catch up with you. He is making advance, but you are not advancing. So the distance between you and the devil is closing up to unsafe proximities. And this can happen physically, it can happen intellectually. The things you believed before, the truths you held absolutely before, now you are becoming relative with them. It depends on how you see it. It's not as bad as you are thinking. It's just how you see it. And when you lose that absolute stance on your grasp of truth, something is closing in on you and is coming in really, really rapidly. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, Moses, you remember Moses? Remember Moses? While he had to go to the mountain to hold his rod up, and Joshua was in the midst of the valley, what is the connection between the hand of Moses being lifted up and Joshua winning the battle in the valley? And the moment the hand of Moses began to become wearied, Joshua began to lose the battle. And in losing the battle, you are losing men. Losing battle doesn't mean you are moving back. It means men are dying. Negative things are happening. Why? Because of the exertion. No wonder Jesus, in holding that rod up in the garden, it was so intense that Jesus sweated blood. That was the height of cosmic warfare. That he sweated blood. What kind of condition will somebody be exposed to medically until the veins, the blood capillaries will rupture? And then blood will start coming out through the sweat pores. This is something spiritual that was exerting physically. In the book of Daniel chapter 10, you find Daniel in a spiritual environment and he became wearied, became worn out. His strength was just decayed. Strength for spiritual warfare. Now, this is it. One of the things that the devil does in these last days is to make the things of the kingdom of God look foolish. And every other thing in the world is going occultic. The wisdom of the princes of this world is, you know, is everywhere right now. And when you speak in tongues, you say, what is that gibberish? Do you understand? What is rabababa? And if you see the way they mock our faith. All right? They are called scoffers. And in the last days, one of the people you need to prepare for is scoffers. They will tell you that since the father, time of the fathers, the kingdom of God has been at hand. Who has taken it in his pocket? I was preaching to my cousin. Repent or you perish. He said, the Bible said from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God is at hand. Where is it? If it is at hand, is it not supposed to be in the pocket by now? I looked at him. I just knew that I don't have time to waste here. Until their brother had a demonic case. I was in church having vigils, personal vigils. And then the brother was manifesting demon. Five of the siblings couldn't hold their elder brother. And they called the man that they had been mocking. I was in church. He said, come. So-and-so, we don't know what is happening to him. They said, okay, I'm coming. When I got there, five of them were holding this guy. And you know, when somebody comes to relieve you of the stress, you will gladly want to go. And I said, leave him alone. Five of them could not hold him, and you are saying, leave him alone. But they should have left him because they are tired. And I said, look at me. And he looked at me like this. He said, lie down. He lay down and slept. Even me too, I slept. And in the morning, I took off, I left the place. And they are looking at me strangely. But these are the same people that mocked your faith. When people are in crisis, they don't call the people they like. They call the man that has power. When people have problems, they don't go to a man that speaks good English. They don't go to a man that entertains. They go for the man that has the solution. If you give up your faith because of their mockery and their scoffing, you are the loser. In fact, you and them will lose because a time will come where there will be an enemy that need to be addressed. So when you are speaking in tongues, Bible says, he that speaks in an unknown tongues defiles himself. And if you're going to engage in spiritual warfare, one of the tools, one of the provisions you need to be deliberate about is spiritual strength. And one of the routes, the feeders, the exercise for strength is speaking in tongues. When you speak in tongues for 10 hours, something happens to your spirit. Your spirits begin to kick. It begins to solidify. It begins to become strong. Endurance plus perseverance plus patience. All of that is happening there. You don't know. It may look like nothing is happening. Until the day of battle. Then you discover that you have what it takes to put the enemy on 10 hours of warfare without sitting down on your feet. I remember my first son. He was born on Thursday. All right. On Sunday, we discovered that he had jaundice, his chest. He couldn't suck breath. His chest was already green, and we had him in the room. We didn't know why he was just restless. When we brought him out of the room, everywhere was green. So we quickly rushed into the hospital. We arrived at the hospital on Sunday. By Tuesday, they had him in the neonatal ward. He was just 4 days old. We were at the neonatal ward on Sunday. By Tuesday, a child that was recovering and the mother has become, you know, to ease up her tension and eating well, the child died. And I refused to leave. That was my first experience at, you know, the way it feels when you have your first child. I want to be there. I was in the neonatal ward until they chased me out. It's only for women. And there's one lady that she was a nurse. When she comes in the night, you will gather all the women and say, let's pray together, let's pray. They sing all the song, do everything. And then when they finish praying and they say, oh, we have committed our children to God, the devil come and kill that woman's child. And I'm like, excuse me? My boy was now 6 days old and somebody died in the neonatal ward. I refused to go home. I was sleeping at the hospital. I was staying there, just go to BSU quickly, take my shower, come back. Stay there. And this nurse hated me. She hated me. Your wife is here. Just go. Go. She made life miserable for me. On Thursday, another child died. All along, you find me on my feet. teaching hospital. In fact, there are times where you feel your body can no longer carry you. It is the strength in your heart you are spending. It is inner energy you are spending. That is where I discovered the power of all the long terms, all the many vigils that you sleep for maybe 30 minutes, for 1 hour in a day, and then you are okay. Why? There is a training that has been going on. It is in a day of battle you will appreciate the things you have been carried through. And that is why you will know the pastors that cheated you by sparing you. And that is why you know that you robbed yourself by escaping from the things that should train you. Because there is a day of battle. Pastor told you will not be there. You are going to be there all by yourself, and the devil will have you where he has always wished, but you need to give him a surprise. Hallelujah. As we speak in tongues, something happened to us. We are edifying ourselves. We are building ourselves. You are strengthening yourself. You are emboldening yourself on the inside. And because all of these are going on inside, the spiritual activities that go on in church, it doesn't increase the length of your hand. It doesn't increase your height. It doesn't change anything physically. It is very possible to despise it. And most times, because there is no seeming obvious, visible physical exams that you need to write, you don't get to prepare. So I pray in tongues, I fast, so I can exercise my spirit. The days of this fast, what is going on? Your spirit man is being exercised. Your spirit is being trained. Your spirit is being energized. The first time I prayed in tongues for 5 hours, I was amazed. What will you be saying for 5 hours? Robo, 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 suka, 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 suka. You will hear different kind of tongues. Rabba, aya, aya, then zzz, zzz, seka, 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 seka. And then there's a way you hang your tongue in a place where you are not expending energy. Do you understand? Zaga, 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 zaga. You are the one cheating yourself. Manufacture power in a generous way. Bring out so much in a short time. I like people that if you say pray in the name of Jesus, under 2 minutes they are already sweating. I like that kind of people. Where you put your heart and Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you know you have come to the place where you are energizing, strengthening yourself. So you are serious about it. When they say pray, you are praying with energy. Praying with seriousness. Oh my God. Have you prayed like that before and you felt like if the devil was around here, he had made the greatest mistake of his life? You know why? You have come, you have risen to a place called your most holy faith. You have lifted yourself to a height in the spirit where you can believe anything. Is somebody here? When you take in the word, something is happening to you. You are building up yourself. As you meditate, you are building up yourself. As you carry out obediences, there is nothing as powerful as obedience. That is why many times if your walk with God is accurate, you will start with zeal and passion, but you will end with obedience and faithfulness. You will start with whatsoever your hand findeth to do, but you will end with doing commanded things. That is a zone of safety. It's not comfort zone. It's a zone of safety. Praise the Lord. When you begin to pray, there are things you are going to experience. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you, when you pray, do you feel when the environment in the where you are changes? When you pray, do you measure the environment? Do you know when the climate changes? Have you been praying before? And then you are praying, Father, I just want to thank you. You have been so good to me. My business, next level, my children, they're taking first, and all of that. And while you are celebrating your children, the devil had a plan. And you are praying, and suddenly have you felt an aggression while you are praying? Hello? Okay, let me show you something. Give me the book of Matthew chapter 26. Let me show you an experience in the place of prayer. Matthew 26, give me verse 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. This was the scenario in the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay? He took the 11 to the garden and then told them, tarry here, watch with me. I'm going yonder to pray. He carried Peter, James, and John, and they went further. And then when they go, they say, tarry ye here and watch with me. Okay, Yahweh, this is 38. Go back to 38. Then said he unto them, he was talking to three, eight aside, three with him, and he spoke with them. Say, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. What is Jesus Christ talking about in this place here? He is saying, in the place of prayer, the atmosphere around his life, if you ask Peter, James, and John, they didn't know what was happening. It was one of those days. Death has drawn close. There is sorrow in the realm of the spirit. The adversary is closing in. The betrayer has collected money and sold him and leading a band to come and arrest him. And he has felt the weight of betrayer, the weight of all of evil being planned. He saw the sorrow closing in on him. But the people around, they didn't know what was going on. How? Now, this is very important, and I'd like you to take note of what I'm saying. When sorrow is around the corner, how do you know? When death is around the corner, how do you know? Even apart from a gift of the Spirit, how do you know? The answer is in your spirit. The day somebody died around you, close to you, you felt really uncomfortable. You felt somehow, there is a way you felt that you were not at, you didn't have the insight, no intelligence to know that the devil is closing in on you. And you cannot prosecute warfare effectively without intelligence. Military warfare, you need intelligence. Spiritual warfare, you need spiritual intelligence. And your antenna, the antenna of your spirit being active and hoisted, will tell you danger is coming. There is danger coming. There is danger coming. Before the FOG, I was in the office and then I just had something like an open vision where I saw my elder brother's wife bringing her children to me to train them. Why? Say, your brother is dead. Say, no. Right there and there, I began to pray. So they're praying. Pushing. And then God so kind, when we had the 4 days prayer chain, I don't know if you remember, the 4 days prayer chain, while the prayer chain was going on, there was something I was processing and prosecuting. Do you know that my brother was coming from Oju, and then they got to a place where, just before Ipayongo, not up to 30 minutes drive away from here, and then in the night, these guys came at them. They were to butcher him. When they released the machete and he used his hand to block it, if you see the cut, it's like the mouth of a man. And the guy was ready to butcher him. But that physical attempt had a spiritual backing that was addressed. Jesus said, my soul is sorrowful. You can destroy sorrow and change your sorrow into joy if you know how to posture correctly. That is why our Father was teaching us. He said, don't despise signs. You felt I don't know why I don't want to go out today, but he said, they are calling me, they are calling me. Oga, they are calling you. When I saw my brother's hand, I appreciated the fact that God spoke. And we had an atmosphere of prayer. The court, you will not want to look at it if you are a sensitive man like me. Someone called me, I think this year, they called me this year. I was in the office. And I got a call from one of our former neighbors. And the call kept coming in. I think I was in a meeting or something. I don't know why I couldn't pick the call at the moment. And then not too long, I called back. And they say, so and so person has been sick. He has been sick throughout December, January, hospitalized. They are saying this, I said, okay. I felt an urgency in my spirit man to call at the moment. And then I tried to call, eventually routed the call through different persons. And then I got to the wife. When I called, I said, you shall not die, you shall not die, you shall not die. And I said, can you talk? No. Put the phone on loudspeaker. And I prayed over the phone. And while I was praying, this is what I sensed. And it's very, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. While I prayed for him, I felt an intercessory vacuum. That the church and the people around him, this guy has been sick, they are not aware in the spiritual, and they are waiting in a false hope of recovery. Waiting for him to recover without partnership. Intercessory partnership. They were waiting. Mother in one hospital, they went to another place to go and conduct some dialysis and to do some scans. And then the plan was that they didn't want the mother to see him when he dies. And the moment I finished the prayer, it was almost time for service. And then I think Bonke was with me. Bonke, you were there that day. And I said, please, I need to pray. I had to ask him to leave the office because I want to pray. And I began to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come again. But the more I pray, it's like the prayer is just dropping in a void. Because all along, for the months he has been sick, for the period he has been sick, he has not been surrounded with intercession and prayer. And they were having a false hope that he will get fine. When you are sensitive, the moment I began to pray, I knew that the depth of prayer too much. The guy died. I prayed with him that day. By the next day, he was dead. And when they called me, when I heard about it, I didn't want to think about it. I only knew that perhaps, I don't know, you need to go to a church to pray. I need to have people that pray around you. And you need to be sensitive. The reason why most times people are brought to church with some kind of emergencies, then the pastor pray and the person still die, it's not because the man is not anointed, but something of spiritual warfare backlogs. And the matter has gotten to a level where it's almost late. Not because God cannot, but the faithfulness of the people around to pray. And in most cases, when we talk about spiritual warfare, it's not only God that is involved in the realm of the spirit. Demons are also involved. And you need to calculate all of that into your plan as you make your budget. So when you come back from the hospital, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and they are waiting and waiting, and the guy died. The reason why things happen, sometimes there are quotas, there are measures that need to be filled for victory to be implemented, to fulfill righteousness in the realm of the spirit. But if you are not sensitive to measure all of these things, you will be losing out. And it takes a strong spirit with all the faculties functioning to abide in safety. Are you there? That is why, if you're not careful, you will not know what happens to you when you come to church. You will not know what happens to you when you pray. But if you are sensitive and you are a serious person, as you begin to pray, you are praying about the matter. The atmosphere has changed. Victory has been secured. You want to look serious. Kaya! The instead of looking, Kaya! You are looking funny to yourself. Then you begin to laugh. You know what is happening? Victory has come. You were praying today. Now today I will pray for 10 hours. I will deal with this matter. And because of the way you were aggressive, under 37 minutes, you dealt with the matter. And then the rest, you instead of going, you go, ha, ha, ha. A new song. Song of deliverance is given to you. At that time, you switch. You beat your sword into shears. It's time for harvest. It's time to take the spoils. You are praying. You begin to feel sorrowful. There are demons around. You are feeling tight. It's like the atmosphere is choked. That is not a point to give up praying. It is a point where you go mechanical and allow your will to aid your spirit. You need to be intentional, deliberate to push. When you come to such season, one of the things I do is, I don't miss church. I'll come to church and see Pastor George praying. Shaka baga baga baga. I'll find Pastor Gabriel, Anthony, everybody pray, and then that fire will leap on me. Me too, I'll begin to shake my mouth. Oh my God. Why people lose this? When they come to such season, the devil helps them to isolate. The way I am becoming prayerless, I don't want to come to church, let believers not think. When I catch fire, I will come. The devil needs you in that condition. He orchestrated your firelessness so he can hit you hard. What you do, you get to where you can catch fire. Come to the midst of the brethren. No time for isolation. It's not whether I can pray or not. I must come to Zion. I will find somebody doing something that will steal my own fire. You are praying, you begin to become aggressive. You begin to become violent. There is warfare going on. If you have had this experience, you will know there is warfare going on, and don't give up until you break through in your spirit and the cloud becomes open, the atmosphere becomes open. And it takes a strong spirit. Proverbs 18 verse 14? Proverbs 18 verse 14 says that the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a broken, a wounded spirit, who can bear it? Jesus Christ had to stay through for 3 hours. He was praying one prayer point. Now this is where your mind plays game on you. There are ways you begin to engage in spiritual warfare. You begin to pound and push that. The demons will just withdraw and hibernate. Are you there? They withdraw and they hibernate for you to feel that everything is okay, you are broken through. And that is why where you find this type more is when somebody is sick and people are praying. Okay? People are praying and then they begin to celebrate victory too quick. He's getting recovered, and instead of to keep the prayer coming, they started relaxing and thanking God. At least now, we don't need all of us to be sleeping in the hospital again. Just, we can be taking turns. And then, when the devil hibernates and withdraws and sees that you have dropped your weapons of war, he comes back and hits hard. And then, the person was recovering. They have discharged the person from the hospital, but the person died. Why? There was no sensitivity and discernment. There are victories you don't celebrate too quick in spiritual warfare. In fact, there are testimonies you don't even give too quick until you drive this matter. In my language, they say if you kill snake, what do? Cut the head. Keep pounding until you are sure beyond assurance that the matter is settled. That is why that resilience, importunity, all right? That importunity that you have developed in your heart keeps you going. Physically, it looks like the matter is ending, but within you, you are not resting about it until you check the demonic hibernation is one of the tricks you need to deal with. in spiritual warfare. That is why when we say a strong spirit, a healthy spirit, it has all the features and properties of discernment, of faith, of courage, patience, all of that. They are couched in there. That man can stay until victory becomes certain. Victoria acceta. Or else, aluta continua. Hallelujah. Amen. When you are praying, you begin to get to a level where you start feeling the condemnation of the sins. I don't know if you have had that experience before. You are praying seriously, you are engaging, and then the devil just reminded you of the time you said something negative, or you did this, you did that. At that time, two things are involved. Either a demon is there accusing you, or your conscience is accusing you at that time. 1 John 3 from verse, 20, 21? Say, if our conscience does not condemn us. Alright? Your heart can condemn you, and your heart can, you know, affirm and approve of you. When that happens, the thing to do is not to withdraw. That is the time to begin to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus that cleans your heart, our hearts, from the consciousness of evil. What the Bible call an evil conscience, conscience is the consciousness of sin, consciousness of evil. At that time, you lay hold on the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed, blood, the Lamb without blemish. You apply that blood on your heart. At that time, you will be amazed at the wonders. Years back, I was engaged in, I came into a spiritual warfare atmosphere. We were having, was it 70 or 100 days vigil in the local church? I was then just the youth. We're having vigils, and every night we are having to pray. Pray from 12 to 3, you know, those who go to school, just praying. And I don't know what it is about my life, but I got into a situation where there was an intense battle that I was in one of the night, and that was when I encountered the woman in the River Benue. She came white. She came wearing her white dressing, all of that, and wanted to have a wedding with me, and I would not. You can't wed me. And I had seen in that same night vision where at the food basket roundabout, weddings were taking place. Pastors were the one being married to this woman, and those who would not marry her, she was killing them. I saw the blood of saints, the blood of ministers on her lips. Her wedding gown also was stained with blood. White wedding gown, but the blood also was quite red. And then after I saw all of those things, why to marry me? I said, no, you can't marry me. And we began to fight. It was a battle that I was involved in. You know, I don't know if you have engaged in, you have had dreams where you fought in the dreams, but you woke up physically tired. Have you experienced it? It was such an intense moment. We fought back and forth. The battle was going on back and forth. She would carry me as if she would fling me. I was doing like a real mysterio. You know, those small guys that they are just so slippery like that. And then myself, I tried to fling her. Everybody was acting and being strong. The battle lingered for hours. And then she said something. She said, because your leaders are angry with you. When she said your leaders are angry with you, I got shocked. What did I do to my leaders? Why are they angry with me? While I was in that state of surprise, she stabbed me on my left side here. Do you know, I woke up with that pain physically. And that pain was with me for 3 years. Now, was that something spiritual or physical? Hello? You can see the impact and the exertion of spiritual things on the natural. In fact, the next year, that was in 2010, 2011, around January, February, I don't know which of the contacts that I was going to come, I fainted because of the pain. It was when I got married that the pain left. Mama Dina Osai was my doctor. She's the one I was always calling in the night. Mama, I can't talk. Take moringa. Which I never hear, but this is my life. Prescription upon prescription. Take this one. But something spiritual left a physical mark on my health. If I knew that thing she said was so surprising, that is why your conscience is very powerful in spiritual warfare. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And you are meant to put on the whole armor of God. Be strong. Strength is a crucial factor in spiritual warfare. And we are talking about the strength that God gives. And that is a strength that you cultivate under God. Anything that will destroy your strength actually wants to destroy you. This evening, you're going to rise up to your feet. I'd like you to begin to pray in tongues. Aggressively. Speaking tongues. Loudly. Speaking tongues until your own voice beclouds the voice of doubt. Beclouds the voice of fear. Until your voice beclouds any kind of contrary voice in your heart. That in the next 10, 15 minutes, someone will break shackles off. In the next 15 minutes, someone will break limitation. You will break prison houses. You will burst out. There will be a jailbreak right now. Project your spirit, man. Project your spirit, man. Project your spirit. You will no longer trifle with sickness. Spiritual divine stimulus, divine intelligence coming to you. That could be the life of someone right in your hand. That could be the life of someone. That could be the safety of something that is connected to you. Ekaradunas. Could it be that the devil has gained mileage in the affairs that pertains to you? And you need to make up. You need to make up in intercession to occasion deliverance. To occasion deliverance. Kaya, Kaya, Arana Azosa Sila, Akuda, Avetaka, Brazuza Laita Kobe, Bokatata, Bokatata, Bokantaras, Erani Zalaras, Ebo Naga Dula Rata, Apafaranis, Kaya. Yabas, 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 Yabas. Kata Kora Migato. I will not despair. I will not be perplexed. I will turn to my spirit man and partner with the Holy Ghost. Partner with the Holy Ghost. Partner with the Holy Ghost. Jehovah Sabaoth, the man of war, he can take hold with you. He can lay hold together with you to prosecute safety, to handle emergencies. You can handle it. Ayane. Experiencing weariness, tiredness, you are fainting. The Bible said, "Ekapalatata," because we have obtained this ministry, as we have obtained mercy, we faint not, we faint not, we faint not. Oka, kayebara, enado, 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 enado. Yes, young lady, you can handle the enemy of your family. Sister, you are enough. You alone, you are enough. If you rise up, you are enough. You can put the enemy right on his knees. You can handle the matter all by yourself. If you can rise up in your spirit man, oh woman, listening online, that challenge, that trouble, that crisis, you are the answer. Release your spirit. Release your spirit. Oh! Hey, Aneyata, you rise up in the spirit, and when joy is coming in the morning, you are aware, you know that joy cometh. Joy cometh because as you pray, you felt the atmosphere. As you press, you felt the climate in the spirit. Jesus Christ was praying, and he said, my soul, don't neglect the sensation of your soul. Don't neglect the sensations of your spirit, man. Tells you what is happening in the realm of the spirit. Hey! Hey, 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 hey. Inside me, oh. Yahweh is inside me. Hey, 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 hey. Inside me, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Declare the word in you, sister. Breakthrough, breakthrough, 5 minutes of breakthrough, 5 minutes, just 5 minutes. Breakthrough, hey! Kaya. Father, Menas Ozai Fatame, Pantos Cabe Laitana, Vina Zosa Vite, Compras Cabo, Tuna Yei Laras. Oh, in Jesus' name we pray. I can't hear you. In Jesus' name we pray. You can make it louder. In Jesus' name we pray. I'd like you to pray. Every ugly experience. Can you pray with me? Say, every ugly experience. Every negative experience. Every negative outcome of my life linked to my foundation perish in the name of Jesus. Every ugly experience, every negative experience, every negative outcome linked to my foundation be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and use 30 seconds, 1 minute, 30 seconds. Push and press. Press.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Every ugly experience. Every negative outcome of my life.
Break.
Every negative possibility of my life lead to my foundation. Hey, be terminated, be terminated, be terminated, be terminated, be terminated, be terminated, terminated by fire. Hey, young lady, pray. Woman, pray. Oh, man, pray, pray, pray. Break loose, break loose. The snare is broken. The snare is broken. Our souls are escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Break the snare. Break the cycle. Break the pattern. Destroy it.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Hey, hey, Nadabo, Nadabo, Nadabo.
Break every chain.
In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You are going to pray. Every strange experience in my life. Every strange experience in my life. Be terminated. Go ahead and pray. Pray. Our father said, frequent accident shows a spirit. Near success syndrome, break it and terminate it. Terminate strange experience. Carelessness, late marriages, delayed marriages, death of first children. Death of first children. Hey! Unexplainable death of husbands in the family. Ekayana Saka. Pharaohs.
sickness, negative experiences. You know it. Mention it by name. Call it by name. And arrest and terminate them. Arrest and terminate them. Terminate them right now. Terminate negative patterns. Negative patterns. Cyclical patterns. Excruciating menstrual cycles. Break it. Break it. Abnormal monthly cycles. Arrest it right now. Patterns of sickness, patterns of diseases, patterns of infirmity, strange experiences, scatter them right now. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm giving us this prayer the way I received it. Maybe the last one I will give us tonight because of time. Say, every spirit of perpetual reproach. Every spirit of perpetual reproach. Every spirit of cyclical reproach. In my life. Be arrested. Be arrested. Go ahead and take charge. Go ahead and take over. Ebarana soga. Spirit of shame. Spirit of reproach. Hey! That is a spirit that takes you into error. That causes you to make disqualifying mistakes. Oh God! Every spirit of reproach, perpetual reproach and shame, be arrested. Oh yes, oh yes, take off that comment. Burn that garment. Burn that garment of shame. Burn that garment of reproach. Burn it right now. Burn it. Burn it. In Jesus' name we pray. Finally, I just have this, it just came to my heart to the wrap up of this last prayer. Psalms 8 verse 5. I like you to pray this prayer crazy, like pray like madness. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. My concern is not that one, the second part. And has crowned him with glory and honor. Aya. Can you pray and say, oh God, put a double crown of glory and honor. Glory is a crown. Honor is a crown. Oh God! Oh God! Crown me with glory. Crown me with honor. Go ahead and pray. Oh God. Oh God. I ask for that double crown of glory. Crown of glory. Crown of honor. Crown of glory. Crown of honor.
Dearly beloved, We believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Visit spiritnerds.org to download more MP3 sermons of your favorite preachers. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com.